We want to get you out of here to go enjoy a little free time tonight. Before we do, though, I want to just quickly talk about what this theme is all about. We are a Christian camp. Hey, you're welcome. With that, our job and our goal is very, very simple. It's to help point you to Jesus, as I said before, and help you grow in your relationship with him. And that's what you're going to hear all day, every day. And that might scare some of you, and it might pump some of you up. But that's what we do. And we're going to do that through recreation. We're going to do that through quiet times in the morning. We're going to do that through an amazing teacher who will come on and teach you on the stage. We've got an incredible band that will help lead you in worship. We've got an incredible staff. You've only met a few of them. We've got so many other staff here at Hume. But some other people that I want to introduce here, as we've been introducing people, are people that have given up time with their family. They're not getting paid. They're doing it just simply because they love you. And it blows my mind the amount of people that are constantly coming up to serve alongside the local church. And that's your counselors. Counselors, can you stand up for me? If you haven't yet met your counselor, hopefully you will do that soon because you will be hanging out with them all week long. They are amazing. Thank you, counselors, for coming up. One group more of people that I want to quickly introduce because I don't want to do camp without these people. We love camp. I love what I get to do. I love it. But I wouldn't want to do it if you just came up to camp and then left and there was nothing else after camp. I love that we can point you back to the local church, and we're going to be doing that. If you don't have a church and you came up here and you don't have a church home, I'm going to encourage you to get to know these people in a minute I'm going to have stand. Their jobs are to point you to Jesus, not just this week at camp, which they will, but they're there to pour into you, ask hard questions, answer hard questions. They are amazing individuals, and that's your youth pastors. Youth pastors, can you stand up? Stand up. Hey, unbelievable. And I know with some have been here a while. Those that have been in this youth ministry for a long time, thank you for your service and what you're doing. Those that maybe you just got to church a week ago or today, get to know those youth pastors. They play a huge role in what we're doing here at Hume. So thank you, all that are here. I guess one last group of people. How about you, the campers? How about that? Huh? Can we make some noise for you? Thanks for coming up. Listen, this theme, what I want to talk about is this idea of bingo. What is it? What was this craziness that you saw as you first came in? What was it all about? You see, here at camp, if you've never been here, or maybe you've forgotten because it's been a year and, well, you had school and you were busy. Every night, you're going to see a part of this video that we showed. This video is something that we've kind of taken a story out of the Bible in a book called 1 Kings. It's in the Old Testament. Maybe you're not super familiar with it, or maybe you are. 1 Kings chapter, 16 is where we're kind of starting to introduce some of these characters. And it goes all the way through to the second book of Kings. We're not going to read all of it, but we're going to take chunks of it as we tell the life of this guy named Elijah, who was a prophet, one who spoke on behalf of God into a culture, Israel, God's chosen people, that he loves this nation, he loves this people, and he wants to be their God that they love and that they serve. But how quickly they kind of forget, and that's what we're going to look at. In fact, our theme verse comes out of 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36. It says this. You don't have to turn there if you don't want. If you don't have a Bible, we got plenty for you in the back. We'd love you to take one. If you don't know how to open it or where it goes, well, open it. You open it. And then, but if you don't know where to read, no problem. Don't get overwhelmed. Grab one. Maybe look on your friends or just ask. But here's what it says in 1 Kings chapter 18. It's in the Old Testament. It's right before 2 Kings. So there you go. It says this in 36 of 18. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I, your servant, have done all of these things at your command. Here we go in 37. It says this, answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Would you pray with me here as kind of talk through some of this stuff? Father, thank you for life. God, we do. We thank you for breath. You are the one who gives us life. You are the ones who, you're the one who woke me up this morning and allowed me to breathe. You're the one who's created all of this around me, and it blows my mind that you actually care about me. You care that I have a relationship with you. And God, for each person in this room, counselor, youth pastor, student, God, for whatever reason, wherever they're at with their relationship with you, God, may you just meet them, because you're that big of a God, you can. As we dive into your word a little tonight, as we just talk quickly on what this theme is, may you bless this time and may you bless this week. May you change hearts, all of ours. We love you. Amen. The story of Bingo really came, as I said, out of 1 Kings as we started looking at this guy's life. In his life, what we look at it, Hume, we feel like you could kind of sum his life mission or purpose up in this idea of he's one that wants to proclaim God's truth in the midst of an ungodly culture. He is going to proclaim God's truth in the midst of an ungodly culture, and we look at, that's where I believe that some of us, all of us that call themselves Christ followers in this room, we're called to do the same thing. Proclaim God's truth in the midst of any culture that we're a part of, godly or ungodly. And we came up with this this concept of Elijah proclaiming God's truth in an ungodly culture, and we decided, why not put it in a barn theme? Why? Man, there's so much about it that I hope that you're going to love. As you walk in these doors and you sit down, we're all of a sudden introduced to Bingo, the title. He's our Elijah character. So it's like calling the theme Elijah. Bingo, right? That's our Elijah character. We're going to follow him. But as we're really introduced to Elijah, we find out that there's nothing awesome about him. He speaks for who? Bark, bark, the farmer. All of a sudden, the farmer rolls out, and we meet this farmer, and everything is good on Old Mac's farm. And we loved this concept of the farmer being God. Because in the Old Testament, it was hard for us, at least, and in my job is to help kind of spearhead these themes and think through how do we tell this story in a kind of creative way, which it's we found difficult to put a character to God in the Old Testament. And we've done it in the past, those that have been here in the years. We make him a wind, and it's fine, and it's good. But man, God is so much more than just wind. How do you sum him up? And all of a sudden, as we thought through this concept, we loved it, because we have this farmer that you don't need a backstory on who the farmer is. You know what a farmer does. He provides for his animals. It's his farm. He could do what he wants with it because it's his farm. And no matter how much a rooster might want to be the farmer, he can never and will never be a farmer because he's a rooster. And no matter how much you in the tank top might want to be God, right? And I know you do, right? He'll never be God. No matter how much I say, no, I don't want to be God. I want God to be God, really, because a lot of times my actions show I want to be God. I know what's best for my life. God, why don't you step aside? Why don't you let me do what I do best, which is what, mess up? No matter how much I try to be God, I will never and can never be God. And that's one of the first things I love about this theme. If we got old Mac, and when old Mac is in charge, life is good on old Mac's farm. And that's the first thing you saw here, is everybody comes out, and it is great. Let me introduce you to some of these animals. We got the chickens, we got the goats, we got all these animals. And when old Mac is in charge, everything is the way it should be. And then we get to the video. We've got Jezebel who enters the scene. 1 Kings chapter 16, we read about this guy named Ahab. He's one of many kings of Israel. And in fact, we read in chapter 16, that he's the worst king that Israel's going to have. And one of the main reasons on why he's the worst king is he allows Jezebel to bring in Baal worship and start to turn the hearts of God's people away from God and focusing on something else. And then another reason why we loved this theme is we've got our farm. We've got Israel. It's a great little analogy of who Israel is. We've got God as our farmer. We've got Bingo as the farm dog who, man, he's loyal to the farmer. He'll speak on behalf of the farmer. Wherever the farmer goes, that's where Bingo wants to be. We've got King Ahab represented as this rooster who kind of thinks he's in charge, and the farmer lets him think he's king, but it, make no mistake, he'll never be the farmer. And inside this farm, we've got our farm animals and everything's the way it should be until the outside, these wild animals come in and start living life differently than God wanted on his farm or the farmer wants. We've got Jezebel who comes in and she starts saying, and first these Israelites or these farm animals are like, yeah, well, wait a minute. This is different. This isn't good. We've got old Mac. He takes care of us. And Jezebel, because she's crafty, she's like, oh, you cute little puppy. We've got our farmer. You've got yours. We've got ours. Meet Farmer Bill. They bring out this scarecrow. And another amazing reason why I love this theme is this idea of Baal. I didn't know exactly how to tell this story because we think Baal and, I don't know, just maybe think of a golden statue or whatever it might be, right? This idea that we love of this Baal that comes out, and it's an absolute cheap imitation of a real farmer. A real farmer that walks around and feeds his animals, provides, takes care of his animals. And then we've got a cheap imitation that literally does nothing. And how quickly these animals are swayed. Starting to give their eggs and their milk and their fur and all of these things at Baal's feet. Because if we do enough things, maybe Baal will do good things for us. And it's so interesting because I look at what's our Baals in our life and we're like, ah, we don't have idols. Really? You really don't think you worship things other than God? One thing I'm going to ask, and I'll kind of close out with this in a minute, but I'm going to ask you, especially you Christians that call yourselves Christians that might have gone through church all of your life. Can I ask you, all of us, this week, maybe for the first time in a long time, can we just be real? Can we not put on the Christian act and say the Christian things? Because you're not fooling God, but you're doing a good job fooling your friends. How far is that going to get you? I'll answer it for you. Not very far. And I think there's so many of you that are just internally just freaking out. If only people knew the real you. Guess what? Let them know the real you. Be open this week. Be real this week. If you don't know answers, then ask those questions. If you're a student leader and you don't know those answers, it's okay. Ask. I see it too many times. Students so freaked out to ask questions. We've got an amazing relationship with God that we can have and enjoy. And if you don't know, ask. So what are those things that we put in the way of God or in the place of God? Make no mistake of it. God will not share his place in your life with anything else, including you. And what we've done is we've traded this amazing relationship with the Holy God, and we've put in a place this absolute mockery of a farmer that does nothing for us. And bingo comes out, because we have a farm dog who speaks on behalf of God. And in chapter 17, all of this has been happening in 16 as Jezebel enters and she brings Baal worship, and how quickly the Israelites or these animals turn from the real farmer to this cheap imitation, until chapter 17, verse 1, and it says this. Now Elijah, who's Elijah? Well, we're just meeting him for the first time in 17. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead. Where? I've been blessed to be able to go to Israel. Never been to these places, but for you, you're probably wondering, where are these places? Right. It's an interesting thing. If we read the Bible for the first time, we don't really know where this guy's coming from. But it's unbelievable of what he says to the king of Israel. He says this. He said to Ahab, "As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." You see, Elijah is a prophet of God. What his job is, he's one who speaks on behalf of God. The problem that we have with prophets, when we think prophets, I think a lot of times we're like, man, these dudes just wear animal skin, right? And they just go and pick fights with everybody in the Bible, especially these kings. And that's, and maybe, oh, they tell the future and things like that. And the hard thing is, that's not really their job. It's what happens because people turn away from the Lord. But a prophet's job is simply to remind people of who God is, to bring them back into a relationship with God. And that's what they're constantly doing. Their hope is that one day people have that same passion and love for God that they do. And here's Elijah standing up in the face of most of Israel, and the leader of Israel, who's saying, hey, worship this cheap imitation. And Elijah's like, what? Are you crazy? Why would you do that? And he says, there's not going to be any rain for 3 years. There's not going to be any rain until I say so. And he's one who speaks for God. None until God says so. And then he drops the mic and he walks away. And that's what we see in 17 verse 1. And that's the rest of the opener that you saw, was just this one little verse. Because I want more. What else happened with that? What was Israel's reactions? What was Elijah thinking as he walks up? Was there more interaction? What about between him and Jezebel? As Jezebel comes in, what's he thinking? And we really wanted to expand on that just a little bit. And so that's what we have here, is he barks and he gets everybody's attention, and he's insulted by Jezebel, which probably would have been the case. And he goes in. We wanted to do this little spoken word thing, because I just wonder if these are some of these words that he's saying. Listen, who do you think is in control? This fraud you call a god, which you have disrespectfully placed on the farmer's land, this is what you're giving your life to? mean, you've animals. You've placed cheap happiness. Cheap happiness in a spot of your heart that is reserved for full joy. Joy that only comes from the farmer. You see, on the farmer's land, he's the one who decides the when, where, why, and how. And because of that, life on this farm is lived the way life was meant to be lived. Not always easy. The farmer never promised us easy. But hey, you might be swayed. Turned away to get played like a fiddle to the tune of this cheap imposter. As for me, I'm loyal to the farmer. I'm not going to settle for this. And I just wonder if this is Elijah's heart. I wonder if one of us would have been back in this time. Would we have the courage to stand up in the midst of this ungodliness and have that same kind of heart to say, why would we trade this God that we could serve and love and know for a cheap imitation? Why? And then Elijah does something interesting. He drops the mic and walks away. Read it. Says it. I'm just kidding. We take a little liberty in it. But he says, here comes the crows. And you're like, wait a minute, crows? I don't really remember that. He says it doesn't rain in the Bible. It's not going to rain. What we wanted to do is this, as we look at Baal. Baal in the Old Testament, what does it do? It's supposed to bring fertility. The more you worship it, in different ways you worship it, it's going to bring fertility. It's going to bring rain or bring lots of water that will grow crops and make it a fruitful year for you. It does a lot of other things, but that's a big thing that it's known for. So God basically slaps Elijah in the face to say, your God is supposed to bring rain. I invented rain. Good luck. And he shuts the water off for 3 years. What we wanted to do is we took this scarecrow. What does this scarecrow do? It's supposed to scare crows. So we did the opposite. When they bring Farmer Bell, what are we going to do? Well, the crows are actually going to come now. And this farm that was so great, life was good on Old Mac's farm. Old MacDonald has a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And then the crows come. And that's what we see. We're inundated with all of these crows. We got the big old crow at the end. And whether you missed it, I don't know if you saw it or not, because there was a lot of craziness happening. You've got this standoff between Bingo, Jezebel, and Doodle, the rooster, right? And then they go to their spots, and you might have missed it, and that's fine. We start out by saying Old MacDonald has a farm. That was the beginning part, because life is the way God intended it to be. And then we come into the end, and it's Old MacDonald had a farm. Because the scary thing is I read scripture, and I read Romans chapter 1, a scary passage that I see. If given enough time, God will give you what you want. You want none of him? You get none of him. You want that sin that's in your life and you have grace and mercy through him, but you want that sin. You want to trade in God for a false thing. He's going to allow you to give yourself to that. And unfortunately, you're going to reap the consequences that happen because of it. But he's never going to force himself on you. And we're going to hopefully see through this week the consequences that's going to happen because of those kinds of things. They choose something different than God. Have at it. Let's see if that really satisfies you the way that I actually do. Because God is faithful. He's always been faithful. And this week, through our speaker, Darren, who you're going to meet, is going to talk about who God is. And that we could trust him because he's trustworthy and he's faithful in the midst of us being unfaithful. And that's how we ended the theme tonight. And how does that apply to your life? There's so many different ways. And we're going to learn that through our devotions in the mornings, in our chapel times, on stage here, in your cabin discussions. that this week we're going to look at what it looks like to proclaim God's truth in an ungodly culture. And if you've never put your faith in God and you don't know or have a relationship with God, look, I'm just very excited that you're here. I don't just say it. I mean that. Each one of you that are here, I'm so excited that you're here. Can I just ask each one of us, whether you have a relationship with God or not, can we be open? And can we be honest? If you have questions, good. So do I. Ask them. I'm so pumped that my buddy Darren is here this week. You're going to meet him tomorrow. He's our speaker. Darren's one of these guys. He's a guy that I ask. I don't have all the answers. I don't know a lot of answers. But he does. And when he doesn't, he lies to me. I'm just kidding. He finds other people that might know. And he goes to God's word and he asks the Spirit of the Lord. I go to God's word and I ask the Spirit of the Lord. I answer some of these questions I might have. But it's okay to ask. Can you just be open? Those that are Christians in this room, we are called God's ambassadors. We read about it in Scripture. We're called His ambassadors, His representatives on this earth. Maybe it's time some of us actually start acting like it. See, there's a lost, hurting, and dying world that needs to know about Jesus. And it's our job as Christ followers to proclaim His truth no matter what culture you're in. That's what we're going to look at this week with Bingo. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this week. And I do thank you for every student in this room that all have a different place in the relationship and walk with you. And I pray you meet us exactly where we need to be met. That you allow us to be open. God, may we open up your Bible, your word, and learn and be overwhelmed by who you are. May we have a right view of who you are. May we quit trading in a cheap imitation and actually go to you who gives us life and breath. And may we understand that as we get a right view of you and a right view of ourselves and our need for you. God, may you be with the youth pastors this week. Give them wisdom. God, may they have great conversations. Thank you for everyone's here this week. May you change our hearts. Amen.